This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Canton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that follows with complete and thorough prophylaxis. Today we have a special movie review edition for you. We're going to be reviewing two movies, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill by Russ Meyer and The Amazing Transplant by Doris Wishman. So we're going to start out with Rusty talking about the Russ Meyer film.
This film is really cool. The whole thing, first of all, the tagline of this film is Russ Meyer's Ode to Violence in Women. There's this whole little jazzy routine at the beginning of the film where this narrator has a voiceover where he talks about the violence in women, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's a little creepy, but cool at the same time.
It's a little bizarre. There's flashing waves on the screen and stuff, and then as soon as it gets done with that, it flashes into that or transitions into that intro music that you heard at the beginning of the podcast here, and the first 3 or 4 minutes of the film are just these gorgeously shot scenes that almost look like they came out of a Fellini film or something. It's all shot in black and white, and they have these nice angular shots of the highways and girls driving around in the desert laughing. And
well, you should probably mention that before that, during the opening sequence and everything, they were shown dancing with these weird guys yelling things at them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we're to understand that they're go-go dancers, and they bust out of those constraints and take their sports cars into the desert.
Yeah. And so you have these three strippers with just massive breasts.
Go-go dancers. It was the 60s.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. Strippers, go-go dancers, whatever you want to call them. And they're just driving out into the desert to kick ass. And that's basically the whole premise of the film. I'm gonna play you one scene of the go-go girls kicking ass here. It's actually probably my favorite piece of dialogue from the entire movie. Let's see what the characters' names were. There was Varla and Rosie and Billy. You're gonna hear Varla, who was the
she was sort of
the ringleader of the group. She was always yelling.
Was always screaming, even if they were right next to her.
Yeah. It was that part of it was a little bizarre, actually, because but it was really neat too, because I mean, she was so fucking tough. I would not want to get in a scrap with that girl.
Well, she killed a guy. I mean, come on.
And what you're going to hear here is the prelude to that fight where she killed that guy. So here you go.
Give it back! They told me he values that he won it. Good, now let him win it back. Tommy.
Let's just time Lancelot as he comes charging to the rescue.
What's going on here?
3.5 seconds, champ. You were great.
What's the matter?
The watch. She won't give it back to me.
Let's have it.
You've got a weird sense of humor.
Try again. I get funnier.
Look, I don't know what the hell your point is, but I don't...
The point is of no return, and you've reached it. You can still climb in that kiddie car and take a hike. Unless you can fight better than you can drive.
And then she proceeds to kick his ass. And, I read on IMDb, somebody said that since he was wearing plaid shorts, maybe it was a mercy killing.
He kind of deserved it, if you really want to get down to it. That whole scene, he was talking about how he raced against time and he never raced against people. And he was kind of a douche, but... Anyway, so they kill this dude, and then they travel onward. They
kidnap his girlfriend.
Because there was this whiny little bitch with him.
Who actually, coincidentally enough, was Miss December for the Playboy calendar in 1966.
Yeah. And I think that was about the same time, or just a little after the movie was
released. It was the year after the movie was released, even though she looked like she was about 14.
Yeah, so... There were really only two sort of major sections of the movie. The first part was just that very early part, which wasn't very long at all. And then the rest of the movie was spent with them going on the road after they found out that this old guy had money and they were trying to extort money from him and stuff. But what was really weird is you had this sort of 1950s Lassie, Dennis the Menace kind of music show up right after this really cool kick-ass music. it was really bizarre. And the whole thing, as you heard from the last scene, was full of these witty one-liners. And you'll hear another one here at the end of this clip.
And this is when they stop at a gas station and a bumbling old guy comes out to fill up their gas tanks.
Yeah, and for a little context there, he's looking down her shirt the whole time. He's talking to her.
Just passing through, huh? Boy, that motor's sure hot. You gals really must have been moving on these little machines. Yes, sir, the thrill of the open road. New places, new people, and new sights of interest. You know, that's what I believe in. Seeing America first.
You won't find it down there, Columbus.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty serious. Like I said, the whole movie is filled with just this great snappy dialogue and really smart-assy. At no point did it take itself seriously, which is what was so great about it. I would highly recommend it. Even though there was no nudity in the film, it was actually a lot, sexier than the second film we're going to review.
Yeah. I would add that I thought that some of the racing scenes sort of dragged. I mean, they spent a lot of time just filming the cars going in circles.
And on a lot of laughing.
Yeah.
There was definitely a lot of
laughing. There was a lot of laughing for no reason. And then, of course, you know, one of them...
Gratuitous breast shots.
Yeah, one of them, like, runs into the water, and then they have a little wrestling match there in the water. You know, it's...
But the whole thing was spectacular. Anyway, so why don't we move on to our second film
here?
Well,
let's... before we move on, in conclusion, what would you give this? Cocks up or cocks down?
I'm going to go with cocks up. I mean, that blonde Billy was hot, and, you know, the... You know, in her own weird little psycho way. And there was also, you know, the Varla, the ringleader, and she was hot in a, you know, kind of want to...
I might kill you way.
Yeah, and I might kill you way.
I'm going to go with cocks up as well.
Yeah, I'll go with cocks up.
All right, moving right along. The second movie that we watched is The Amazing Transplant, a 1970 film by Doris Wishman. And it claims to be the first penis transplant movie. If you have reason to contest that, please let us know. But I can't imagine that there are many earlier ones.
No, I can't imagine.
So, first, we're going to play you a clip here that basically sums up the main plot point.
I want to talk to you, Dr. Meade.
What do you want?
Dr. Meade, there's something you must do for me. Something very important.
What is that?
I want you to put Felix's penis on me. Listen to me. You've got to do it. You've just got to do it.
What are you talking about?
That's Please, outrage, I guess.
You've got to help me.
Are you crazy?
Maybe I am crazy, but I just don't care. Ooh. I just don't care.
He's a wild man.
Do you know I'm a virgin?
A wild virgin.
I've never slept with a woman.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
I want to, but I can't. You know what it means to be frustrated all the time? To have to keep away from women for fear they'll laugh at me. Do you?
Well...
I guess he doesn't.
I guess he doesn't.
Believe me, Arthur, that operation can't help you. The urge for sex is not physical.
It will help me. I know it will.
The urge for sex.
An operation like that is too dangerous. I would be a murderer.
Why are you so concerned with the danger to me? And why do you worry if anything goes wrong, you'd be a murderer? I know about the abortions you perform. I know about the girl who died right here in this office. I'm sorry, Dr. Meade.
It was Felix. It was Felix who told you.
You can't make this stuff up, people. No. This movie, here's the summary. Our hapless star, Arthur, is the virgin who's unlucky with the ladies. He had a friend, Felix, who was quite the ladies' man.
Apparently so.
Unfortunately, Felix died of a rare virus, conveniently enough.
Why would he want his penis if he died of a rare virus?
Well, we're not supposed to ask these questions. So Arthur decides that if he gets Felix's penis put on him, suddenly he'll be a winner with the ladies.
Apparently,
as well. That's, I guess,
fellow.
That's how it works. So the doctor performs the operation, obviously. And along with the sexual prowess of his friend, Arthur also gets some fetishes and rather dark, you know, the underside of Felix's sexual
prowess. Okay, so, like, Felix had a fetish for gold earrings, apparently, when he was alive.
Yes, and it was...
And they never really explained
that very
well.
They never really covered
that
because... And I have some questions about that, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But here's what happened. So after the transplant, Arthur suddenly has this fetish for gold earrings that make him just go crazy and rape anyone who he sees wearing gold earrings. So he proceeds to rape like three, and he kills one of them. He kills
his girlfriend.
At the beginning of the movie.
It was never explained to me why he kills the girlfriend, but then only rapes
the other women. Yeah, he doesn't kill the other women. So that's one question. Secondly, if Felix had this fetish for gold earrings during his life, was he a rapist? Are we to understand that? Or was it not that malicious with him? I have a lot of questions.
I think they explained it as he just had a fetish for it. He just liked them.
So then
when
the penis got
it.
On yeah. Arthur, he... It caused him to be a rapist? It was like manifested
apparently
differently?
So.
There's a lot I want to know about this. The thing about this movie that was weird, well, one thing about...
We're talking about a movie that's about a penis transplant.
Let me start over. And, oh, by the way, they showed the operation and Arthur was awake for it. So I guess for a penis transplant, they just give you local anesthetic.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
A little shot of Novocaine.
Yeah.
That'll do you fine.
Yeah. The camera angles in this movie were bizarre. It was like the camera was always... not on the person who was speaking. If there were two people speaking, the camera would be on the person not speaking.
Or on a lamp.
Or, yeah, on a lamp, a piece of furniture, like a little statue of a horse that they kept showing.
Yeah, they kept showing the horse. There was a dark horse and a
yes,
white horse, wasn't there?
I imagine that it's meant to represent good and evil, because Arthur's mother had the white horse and the doctor had the black horse.
Evil doctor.
Ooh. Another thing...
He gave him the cursed cock.
Yeah. And the doctor also had this big, weird dog always sitting in his office with him.
There was so much that was weird about this movie.
Another thing is that people in this movie were very easily persuaded to do things. So we have a couple of clips here to illustrate that. The first is a clip of Arthur trying to persuade Mary, the girl who he ends up killing... to be able to come over and talk to her.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Mary. This is Arthur. I want to talk to you. It's very important. Can I see you? Can I come over now?
No, I'm sorry, Arthur. It's Saturday and the only day I have to shop. Mother and I are going shopping in about an hour.
I'll only stay a few minutes.
Listen, Mary, I know it's Saturday and I know you're busy, but I have to see you. I really do. What do you say?
I must talk to you.
I know you're hurt and I know you're angry.
You're right.
But if you'll only let me explain, why are you being so difficult? Look, I promise I won't stay long, please.
Listen, Arthur. I just don't want to see you.
I'll only take a few minutes of your time.
You've already taken...
Only for a few minutes, Mary. What do you say?
All right.
And then just like that?
Just like that.
I'll see you in 10 minutes. But remember, only for a little while. Goodbye.
And I should point out, too, that before he called her, she was sitting naked on her bed playing an auto harp.
Yeah, that was
It doesn't
scary.
Get much more 70s than that.
No, it doesn't.
The second clip is the cop... who is Arthur's uncle.
I think his uncle, yeah.
Yes, who, after they hear about Mary's murder, this cop is trying to get put on the case.
Kent Fisher? Barlow here. Tell the captain I want to talk to him.
This is Captain Jensen, Bill.
Captain? I want a favor.
What is it you want, Bill?
I just heard about the Mary Thorne murder. The boy you're looking for is my brother's kid.
Yes, Arthur Barlow, Bill Barlow.
Captain, I want to be put on the case. Take everyone else off it. Give me 24 hours and I'll wrap it up for you.
I'm sorry, Bill. You know I can't do that. You know the rules. No relatives.
I want to be put on the case.
I can't do it, Bill. Just forget about it.
You don't understand. He's my dead brother's kid.
You know I'm sticking my neck out, Bill. Don't you?
Just like that.
Uh-huh.
All right, 24 hours.
Just like that.
Just like that.
And he ended up being a pretty shitty detective,
too. Oh, he was terrible. Like, he had to go back to the doctor. The doctor gave him the most obvious clue in the world.
He said, well, in his condition, anything could be possible. And then he didn't ask, what do you mean by that?
What condition? Like, did he have a cold? Or did he have a flesh-eating virus that caused his penis to kill people when it was attached to someone else? I mean, that's something I would ask if I were a detective, and I have no training.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. What I guess my final analysis of this movie, if we're getting into the penis up or penis down rankings, is definitely a penis down, because this movie made me want to skip through the sex scenes.
Even the threesome.
Yeah, there was a threesome, and it was... I don't like to speak in superlatives. I don't want to say it's the most boring threesome I've ever seen.
It was pretty goddamn boring.
But it was weak. It was seriously, seriously fucking weak.
And can I just say that Felix, because this was in a flashback... Felix is a hairy, hairy fellow.
Yeah, he's a hairy fellow.
And Arthur, hairy ass crack.
Yeah, very much so.
All right. Cocks down for this one.
Yeah, definitely cocks down for this one.
Yeah, it's it sounds great, but it's fun to talk about. But if you actually try to suffer through watching it, you might be underwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hear, okay, there's going to be a campy movie about a penis transplant. And
you think, how can that not be great?
How can that not be great?
A little bit of a letdown.
With like five or six sex scenes in it. I mean, there was a lot of sex in that movie.
Yes, there was.
And it was all boring.
Yeah. What a shame.
All these weird pretend rape fantasies that weren't very convincing.
Not at all. But the DVD did redeem itself because it had a few extra features on it.
The extra features were much better than the film.
The extra features were, first there was a montage of clips and audio from 1970s exploitation films.
Of which The Amazing Transplant was clearly one of them, with all the rape scenes in it.
Right. Then there was also a 1952 educational video for sailors called Sex Hygiene, which has some fascinating information and fascinating statistics about VD.
And even some footage of dudes scrubbing their penises.
A lot of footage of dudes scrubbing their cock and balls.
Which was totally unnecessary.
Because, you know, they say wash your cock and balls, you can probably figure it out.
Yeah. I mean,
they didn't say cock and balls.
Did they really need that much instruction?
And then finally, a partial film from the early 50s, I guess, called Penis Facts.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. It wasn't complete. I guess they didn't have all the footage.
Yeah, it kind of cut off in the middle. But
the best by far was Sex Hygiene. Did you know, for example, that half of all prostitutes in the United States have gonorrhea?
And even more overseas.
Even more overseas.
Apparently, because they have statistics for every country in the world.
And
they
all
just
prostitutes
all
are dirtier over there.
Yeah. Those dirty whores.
Yeah, I guess.
Even dirtier than U.S. hookers.
Wow.
We make the best.
How hookers. Do they figure?
Only, you know, what, 37% of ours have gonorrhea or syphilis or
no,
whatever.
It was half.
Oh, half?
Yeah, I think. Wow. Well, and they had a great screen grab that I got that you may have seen on my blog that illustrated prostitutes all lined up there in their black and white dress goodness.
And there was another one you didn't see on the website, which was males, females, prostitutes.
Apparently prostitutes are a third gender. I wasn't aware of that.
So we're going to play you a little bit of wisdom here.
Timeless wisdom. Timeless that we can wisdom. All relate to.
Yes. This is, by the way, from Sex Hygiene.
You have the facts. We've told you everything of importance about these diseases.
Everything.
To sum up briefly, continence is the only sure way to avoid infection.
When did that word go out?
However, if you do expose yourself, use a good condom and follow it by immediate and thorough prophylaxis. Don't get drunk and carelessly expose yourself without protection.
Seriously.
A drunken man loses his sense of judgment and foolishly takes chances he wouldn't think of taking when he is sober. But if you should contract a venereal disease, don't try to conceal it. For an untreated venereal disease is extremely dangerous to your shipmates, to your family, and to yourself and your future.
I don't know why it's dangerous to your shipmates. I mean, did they...
Well, I mean, they just assumed. It's like you go to prison.
I guess.
You know, it doesn't really count as being gay if you have sex with your prisoners, right?
I guess.
With your cellmates.
Is that what they were hinting at there?
I think that's what they were hinting at. They knew the sailors were all up in each other and stuff. So, you know, you're a danger to your shipmates.
They also had this great shot of this guy squirting some kind of snake oil up his urethra.
Yeah, that was pretty weak.
I want to know what that stuff was. Maybe whatever it was. Yeah, it was questionable at best. Yeah. And so, I don't know if we can really give cocks up or down to sex hygiene, but we can give thumbs up or down, I think. And I would give thumbs up to sex hygiene for its unintentional comedic value.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
So we hope you've enjoyed this special movie review edition. We're going to be doing more. There are just tons and tons of movies that we want to watch and review at Videodrome, which is on the corner of North Avenue and Highland.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be reviewing a lot more. And here's an example of some of the movies you can look forward to us reviewing in the future.
Jerry Gross presents an unabridged version of Grimm's Fairy Tales for Adults, starring Snow White, starring Sleeping Beauty, starring Cinderella. Who was Cinderella seeing when she met the prince? What was Snow White really doing with those seven little men? Grimm's Fairy Tales for Adults, everything Mommy never told you. Night Night, from Cinemation Industries.
Rated X, under 17, not admitted.
Excellent.
All right, stay tuned for more.